This happened when I was 23. I am a small female, and this story has changed my life. It was almost midnight when I got off of work at my job as a chef. The town that my restaurant was in always bustled with activity. The bars and diners were always packed. I climbed into my dented up Ford Taurus and turned the key. Immediately I cursed myself for not getting gas on my way to work. There was no way I was going to make it home on less than a quarter of a tank. Irritated, I pulled out of my spot and onto the parkway, driving towards a popular chain gas station. When I pulled up to fill my tank, there was an eerie silence that hung over the gas station. I was the only customer there, which felt strange. I popped open my tank and started pumping fuel, annoyed that it was taking so long. Another car pulled up and parked at the pump right next to mine. It was an odd choice, since there were at least 8 unoccupied others to choose from. Turning away from the car, I finished fueling and closed the door to my tank. There was a cheesy song blaring over the speakers, so I didn't realize that a man had walked up behind me. I turned around and was startled. I then took a few steps back. The man smiled. He wasn't much older than me. "Can I help you?" I asked. He was standing in front of my driver's side door, blocking me from climbing inside. At first, he just looked at me and said, "Pretty thing like you shouldn't have to pump gas by herself. You should get your man to do that for you." My blood ran cold. He knew that I was alone. My car windows weren't tinted, so it was obvious that no one was with me. "Out here so late all on your own?" he went on, dragging his finger over my door handle. I tried to not let him see that I was terrified and kept his eye contact. "My husband is at home, and he's waiting for me to get back from work. It was nice to meet you. You have yourself a good night." I bluffed, taking a step closer to the man, indicating that I was ready to get back into my car. "Sure, honey." As soon as he took a step back, I lunged into my driver's seat, shutting the door and locking it behind me. The doors to the man's car opened, and 4 other men climbed out, and my entire body started to go into shock. I realized that they may try to kidnap me. The first man pounded on the hood of my car as his friends started trying all of my door handles. Fear came over me as I grabbed my phone to call the police. However, all I saw was a Connect Charger message flash on my screen as the phone shut down. "Oh no! Oh my God, no!" I screamed. "Just leave. Just whip out of here and lose them," I thought to myself. I turned my engine over, and that's when the men surrounded my car, trying to use their bodies to block me from driving away.
"Bitch, get out of your car,"
one of them screamed before punching my window.
"We're not gonna hurt you."
Like I would believe that. I took a deep breath and put my car in drive. I didn't want to have to run over someone with my car, but if I absolutely had to, I would. I inched forward, and the men tried to call my bluff by not moving. "Looks like this is going to be a game of chicken," I said to myself. I then moved my car forward even more, until they all scattered and climbed into their car. I took the opportunity and screeched out onto the parkway, almost getting T-boned in the process. I didn't know what to do. They had pulled up behind me and were now following me. If I drove home, they would know where I lived, and I had no idea where the police station was. I had a tank full of gas, so I decided that I would just drive until I lost them. I was too afraid to pull over at a business and try and seek help, and I couldn't outrun their car. So I did something that my dad would have yelled at me for. I decided to drive towards the woods, out to my grandmother's place. She lived in the middle of nowhere, and I knew of a few back roads I could take to try and shake them. So the chase began, them trying to run me off the road and tailgating me so close that I swear I heard our bumpers touching. Blood was rushing through me so fast that I was afraid that my eyes would actually burst out of my head. We made it to the windy road that led to my grandma's. If you aren't familiar with this road, it can be lethal. And that's what I was counting on. Them not knowing every twist and turn by heart like I did should slow them down. The speed limit was 35 and drops down to 20 when you're going around turns. There wasn't a single chevron in sight to guide these stalkers around the turns. I pushed the gas and brought my car up to 65, which was the maximum speed you could go driving down this road. I took each of the sharp turns furiously, constantly keeping an eye on my rearview mirror. I was gaining quite a bit of ground on them, and noticed that at numerous times, they almost went off-road. I wasn't even using my brakes, for fear that the lights would warn them of each turn. I was afraid that I would actually die in a wreck, but anything was better than what these men had in store for me. I finally came to the one-lane bridge, cutting off a car coming from the opposite direction. This forced my pursuers to stop as the other car came between us, making its way down the bridge. This was it. It was my opportunity to completely get rid of them. I drove down a long gravel driveway and killed my lights, pulling my car beside a parked pickup truck. I held my breath as I waited. A moment later, the car that was following me sped by. I counted to 10 and pulled up to the mouth of the driveway, watching their taillights vanish around a turn. I punched it and sped back the way I came from. I almost wrecked at one point for not keeping my eyes on the road. Finally, I lost them. I made it home around 2 in the morning. I pulled my car into the garage and locked all of my doors. Remember to always have your phone charger in your car. You never know when you may need to call the police. This happened to me back in the summer of 2018. Just thinking about it now still gives me chills to this day when I consider what could have happened to me that night. I'll start by giving a little backstory. I'm a 24-year-old male who lives in Minnesota. I was staying with a friend who lives in Chicago. We've been friends since sophomore year in college, so I was really looking forward to catching up with him since our departure after graduation. I was only visiting him for a week, and then I would be on my way home. During the evening, my friend, who we'll call Steven, and his mother went out to go get food, and I decided to stay behind for the simple fact that I just wanted to get settled in for the night. However, the house became extremely hot, so that's when I decided to get out of the house and go walk around the neighborhood. Now, something that you should know about me at this point is that I'm a frequent walker, especially at night. It really calms my nerves whenever I'm on edge, or when I just need to get away for a while. I'm a really antisocial guy in a way. After about 10 minutes of walking, I came across the neighborhood park, and just to kill some time, I decided to go explore it. This park was massive. There was a baseball field enclosed by a walking trail that went on for about a mile, and there was also a small basketball court. In the distance, I could also see a small playground area for children, along with a dimly lit bathroom that you would typically see at any community park. The creepiest part was the trees that surrounded the area. Even though it was a park, it kind of put you in the state of mind that you were standing in the middle of a forest preserve. I didn't have any fears about walking around this park at night, because Steven always assured me that his neighborhood was safe for the most part. "Nothing ever happens here," he would always say. But he was mistaken. I decided to keep walking, and I eventually came across a small park bench. So I decided to sit down and enjoy the night breeze for a little bit. I was at peace when I suddenly heard a rustling noise coming from the nearby trees. I quickly turned around, and there was nothing there. Might have been the wind, a bird, or maybe a squirrel, I thought. After about 5 minutes of relaxing, I pull out my phone to see a text from Steven. It read, "Hey, we just got back. Where are you?" I was about to respond when I looked up to see a car pull in near the playground a few yards away from where I was sitting. This was pretty odd, seeing how it was about 9:30 p.m. But I didn't know much about this area, so I dismissed it as being completely normal. A few minutes go by, and I thought that someone would exit the car, but they didn't. It was at this point that I started to feel a little on edge. The headlights were irritating me, so I got up and started walking back to Steven's house. I texted him saying, "I'm on my way back from the park." In that moment, I heard a car door slam behind me, and I looked back to see a very large man. He was standing in front of his car, and it looked like he was staring right at me. Now keep in mind, it was pretty dark at this point, so I can't really describe any of his facial features. I began walking again, picking up my pace and looking behind me every few seconds. The man was now following me, and I was growing paranoid. "I don't want to die tonight," I thought to myself. Suddenly, I noticed out of the corner of my eye, two men emerged from the trees in the darkness. I was almost at the entrance of the playground when I heard, "Hey, sexy, come here a minute. You want to have some fun tonight?" I was scared shitless at this point. Adrenaline started to kick in, and to this day, I still believe I did one of the stupidest things I've ever done. I turned around to face the men head on and yelled, "Fuck off. I'm not in the mood for games tonight." At that moment, a large hand covered my mouth from behind, and it was suddenly harder to breathe. I tried to scream, but the gloved hands just held me tighter. I started to feel lightheaded, and everything turned blurry. I then blacked out. I woke up in a car, still feeling lightheaded. My hands were tied, and my belt was unbuckled. I immediately noticed that all four of the car seats had men in them, and I was sandwiched between two of them in the back seat.
"What's going on?"
I said in a hoarse voice.
"We're going for a ride,"
the driver said. I felt weak and sluggish as I desperately tried to move my body, but a sharp blow to the side from one of the men sitting beside me stopped me in my tracks. There was no way I could fight four guys bigger than me. I started begging for them to let me go, and they responded by just laughing at me. Tears ran down my face as I struggled to get my hands free, but it was useless. I felt nothing but fear and anger and overall embarrassment. The car started to back out of the parking lot, when suddenly there was the sound of the back window glass breaking. Three of the men immediately got out of the car to check it out.
"What the hell just happened?"
one of them yelled.
"You sickos, let him go now!"
I recognized the second voice as Steven. With the car doors open, I took the opportunity to escape. Desperately stumbling onto the pavement, I looked up to see Steven holding a rock in one hand and a tree branch in the other.
"I already called the police on you fuckers,"
he said. I started to gather my strength and joined my friend in the standoff. We were outnumbered, but I wasn't going to let him fight these men on his own. He was like a brother to me, and where I come from, you protect your family. In the distance, we heard the sound of sirens. The men quickly hopped back in the vehicle and booked it out of there fast. I immediately noticed the car didn't have any license plate. I'll skip through the police details, because it was just the usual. They took my statement and told me that they would let me know if anything happens. The week passed without further incident. The day that I was getting ready to go back to Minnesota, I was trying to block out everything that happened as best as I could, when Steven said,
"You could have been Michael."
"Who's Michael?" I asked. He then told me that when he was in middle school, he had a friend named Michael. They used to play together all the time at that playground. One day, a stranger approached them. The man claimed to be a friend of Michael's dad. To make a long story short, he never saw that man, or his friend Michael, ever again.